I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time to drop the puck. Time for the Nightcap. Your home for news and insider info on your Vegas Golden Knights and the NHL. Let's hear from the goalie. Here's Lindsey Brown.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another installment of the Nightcap. We appreciate you choosing to join us to talk some Golden Knights hockey here tonight via CBS Sports Radio 1140 Signal, the radio.com app, or, you know, in the future, in the podcasting. That is also available to you on Apple Podcasts in addition to the radio.com app. My name is Lindsey Brown, your host always and forever, and tonight I am joined, per usual, by my two trusty sidekicks, Ryan Quigley and Ben Goetz. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello. Thank you for having us, per usual.
Howdy.
I'm so excited to be here.
You do? You sound very excited. Hello, Ben.
Hello. I'm very excited.
I haven't seen
you
in like 4 hours.
It's been so long.
It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
Before we get going, guys, where can we find your stuff? Let's start with your social media handles.
Correct. Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at @RP_Quigs.
Okay.
I'm also on the Twitter machine at Ben S. Goetz, G-O-T-Z.
What's your middle name?
That's a mystery.
Steve.
It's Samuel, isn't it?
It is not.
Is it Solomon?
You know, I'm going to drop that in an article at reviewjournal.com where I
okay,
work.
Okay, so the Knights won last night.
We'll have to find it there.
Yes, we will have to uncover the mystery that is your middle name right there, Ben. The Golden Knights won last night. They played the Vancouver Canucks, and honestly, they almost won every single game that they played since we've last been on this show. Their only loss coming at the hands of the defending Stanley Cup champions, the St. Louis Blues, just, I think it was a Thursday night? Was that last Thursday night?
Thursday night,
and that's
Friday.
An acceptable loss.
Yes.
It's the Blues.
They're the Blues.
Rather
Blues.
Good. Yeah, they're quite good at hockey.
Yeah, so. And so why don't we just go through it, since we usually in the first segment here on the Nightcap, we kind of recap what the Knights did in the past week or so. They beat the Chicago Blackhawks 5-1 after they returned from that super long East Coast road trip. That was a pretty, that game was in the bag early, don't you think, Ben?
They rolled over them. The Blackhawks didn't look like they had any interest in defending a lick of the ice. You felt bad for Corey Crawford, who I think actually put in a really good effort there for a while, and then his defensemen and really the forwards too just completely let him down.
Yeah, Chicago's still kind of searching for their identity, and I don't think they're going to find it because there are definitely some teams in that central division that are humming a little bit faster than they are, so to say, and we'll see one of those teams tomorrow night when the Golden Knights take on the Minnesota Wild. We just mentioned they lost to St. Louis, and it was actually a really good game too. Like, they had their chances to win that game, but As you said, Ryan, there's no foul in losing in their building.
No, like, I mean, it's a tough building. It's a hostile environment. And then you got Ryan O'Reilly, who you're playing against. And when you're playing against Ryan O'Reilly, you're probably going to lose. He's fantastic at the hockey.
I think what was interesting about that game is the Knights came out just really well in the first period. Mm-hmm. They took it to the defending champs in the first period. And the Blues went into their locker room and they said, this is not who we are. And,
right.
You know, pardon the pun, but that was a championship level, like, response by the Blues. I mean, they just crushed the Knights in the second period. They go on to win the game. I mean, that was impressive to see from the Blues, kind of them fighting back in the second. And I think the Knights probably learned something from that, because that's something that they're searching for, of a response of how do you bounce back once someone kind of punches you in the mouth. And the Blues show them exactly how you do that.
Right. And the Blues have been dealing with a ton of injuries this season. So for them to have that ability to just turn it on, like you said, it's impressive in general, but just because they've had to deal with so much inconsistency in their roster and they've lost so many of their top guys to injury, and it's not even January yet and they're going to be gone for a while. As you said, championship pedigree, that's about as good as it gets. And honestly, I wasn't feeling that great about the Golden Knights' chances going into that Dallas game, and I really thought that they were going to start Marc-Andre Fleury, and they ended up going with Malcolm back in Dallas, and he had faced them just a couple weeks earlier. Ben, you're on both of those road trips. You're very familiar with the Dallas area at this point. And When it comes to that game, and I didn't get to watch a ton of it because we were on the air during that point, but obviously to win that in overtime in Dallas, where they had won, I think was 10 of their last 11 at home, I think is a huge, huge turning point for the Golden Knights, at least going through this Christmas break and this West Coast, this Western Conference, you know, really heavy schedule they have here. Ben, you were there in Dallas. What did you see from that team as they kind of fought their way back into that game and ended up securing it down at the end in the overtime?
Yeah, just kind of that resiliency that I kind of mentioned they learned from the Blues. Jamie Benn ties the game with about 5 minutes remaining in the third period. You know, the Stars were down 2-1. Entering the third, they kind of were trying to fight back, couldn't really fight back. The Knights, for the most part, were doing a really good job kind of sitting on that lead most of the third.
Mm-hmm.
Captain scores for the Stars, 2-2 in Dallas. You're thinking, well, maybe this is not the Knights' night necessarily. And then Max Pacioretty, with a great backhand move in overtime. So good, in fact, that he decided to use it just a couple days later against the Vancouver
Canucks.
They were
like almost identical.
Literally almost identical.
Pretty much.
Which is insane because if you know Max Pacioretty, he never deeks. Like, dude's got one of the best wrist shots in the NHL.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he usually uses it. So the fact that he deeked not once but twice was really interesting. And it worked both times. And it worked against Dallas. So it's a huge 2 points for the Knights there. They haven't beaten a lot of really good teams this year. That's been a criticism of the Knights this year, is they beat the teams that kind of are supposed to beat, and then against kind of the top-level competition, they usually falter. Well, Dallas is a really good team in the Western Conference, and the Knights beat them in Dallas's building, and so I think that was a huge confidence boost for that team.
They're not the same team that started the season 1-7, wasn't that what
1-7-1?
Yeah, like they were just they were bad. They were not good to start the year. And then like I had a feeling they were going to kind of turn things around just because like they were so good last season, and I just felt like they were a team good enough to kind of replicate what they did last season, maybe even get to the playoff or to the playoffs. I'd
make some noise in the playoffs.
A lot of noise.
Right.
I mean, I'm thinking they could possibly be contending for a Stanley Cup. Even. Mm-hmm. I think they're that good. And so they kind of turn things around. And I mean, you're right. That's an awesome team that they beat the other night. And for Pacioretty to score that clutch goal in the end, it was just very characteristic of his season that he's had so far.
Well, and especially for them to kind of solve the puzzle that is Ben Bishop. And we kind of talked about it on the Playmakers ahead of that game of how good of a run that he's kind of been on here towards the back half of last season and then going into this season. There's really no one in the NHL that's playing better goalie than maybe Marc-Andre Fleury, to be totally honest. But Ben Bishop is one of those guys that can 100% shut you down. And it was just very encouraging for me because I feel like the Knights have gotten a lot of backup goaltenders or hot goaltenders. So for them not only to solve any goaltender, but to do it in when everything is in the Dallas Stars and Ben Bishop's favor, I think is great confidence-wise for the Golden Knights. And I really think that helped carry momentum into that game against Vancouver last night because the Golden Knights were pretty much firing on all cylinders from the puck drop and were pressuring right away. And that's something that they've done more than one time. It's becoming more of a trend now these days. And so what did you see from the Golden Knights last night, Ben, that you were really enthused with that you think maybe they weren't as strong at that part of their game earlier on in the season?
I just think it was overall the fact that for almost that entire game, almost the full 60 minutes, the Knights were competitive. They were in the game. They were playing well. Like I mentioned, they played well for like a period against the St. Louis Blues. Actually, they played well in the third period. So they had two good periods against the Blues. They probably had two good periods against the Dallas Stars. I thought they had three good periods against the Vancouver Canucks. And that's not something I've said about that team most of this year.
Right.
They usually play well in spurts. They can't play well for a full game. So to see them come out and play well all three periods against the Canucks, a team that was right on their heels and is still pretty much right on their heels in the Pacific Division standings. Like, that was an important win for the Knights to win at home against a team that's chasing them and kind of send that message of like, hey, we're not going away, like especially because the Canucks are this very young team that's kind of, I think, probably feeling themselves based on the fact that they're having early success this year. I think it was important for the Knights to send that message of like, we're here, we're not going away, and we're going to put you in your place tonight and let you know that you're still chasing us, not the other way around.
Right, and teams like that, that was a really great point, Ben, is that they are a young team, and a lot of the teams in the Pacific Division are the majority of their teams are made up of those young draft guys, because there are a lot of teams that have struggled over the last decade or so, including the Arizona Coyotes, who just picked up Taylor Hall today, you know, casually.
Fun little pickup.
We're going to dedicate pretty much the entire dump and chase segment to that little transaction, so do not worry, you will need to stick around for that. But when you get those young teams with those inexperience, you know, one of the things I've harped on the Knights this year in terms of, you guys got to be able to snap out of those momentum swings quickly. You have to be able to change your own kind of tide. You have to be able to be the person or be the team that is in the driver's seat rather than the passenger seat. But when you're a younger team, you have a much higher tendency to be delegated into that passenger seat because you just don't have the experience. You don't have the confidence that so many of these guys needs that veterans struggle with just to bring in right. night in and night out. So that was a huge thing for me. What did you see for the Golden Knights last night, Ryan?
I think they needed a game like that where they just dominated from start to finish, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, they came out, they played strong. What was the final shot? I was laughing at it just a second ago. 46-29.
Well, in the second period, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was excellent. Unreal. They killed them in the second period. And so, like, they really did need, and this isn't a bad team. Canucks are good.
They're
like,
a damn good team.
They might not make the playoffs this year. They could sneak in, I feel like. But, I mean, they are a good team, and they're young and they're fast, like you were saying, Ben. And for them to do this against a team that, like you said, was on their heels a little bit, they definitely needed to just kind of beat up on somebody. Like, maybe they had some bad juju or something. They're just like, you know what? Screw these guys. Let's kill them. And then they did. And so they needed to get this out their system, and it really is an exciting, promising win going forward. And this is just right ahead of them taking on the Wild, who they're kind of on a little hot streak here, too.
A little bit of a hot streak.
Strangely enough.
Yeah, the NHL is definitely getting weird this year. A lot of the teams that were finding themselves at the bottom, some of them are still down there, like the New Jersey Devils. They're basically just going to be at the bottom all year.
Still suck.
But
still suck.
Minnesota Wild are one of those teams that were absolutely last place in the league probably less than a month ago, and now they find themselves not only some days in a playoff position, but sometimes just looking from the outside. Mm. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Like, and you got to, we're going to talk about this a little later on, but like the Coyotes, for example, mm-hmm. the Oilers. These mm-hmm. are two teams that just weren't particularly great last year. Although Arizona did kind of have a little push at the end there, you know what
They're
I mean?
They're getting close.
They almost got into the playoffs last year, but it's fun to see the teams that historically haven't been great doing pretty great this season.
Right.
So.
Absolutely. But the Knights are definitely scoring some goals. They put up 6 on those Vancouver Canucks last night. And we are going to talk a little bit more in depth about that second line. And Max Pacioretty, who finds himself the first star of the NHL, at least just for this week, we are going to take that deep dive on the other side of our first break here. A little breather, guys. We've been talking a lot, or at least I have been. A lot of hockey, a lot of sports. We're the Nightcap on CBS Sports Radio 1140 and streaming on the radio.com app.
The Nightcap. That's a night with a K, as in Golden Knights. Duh. On CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Welcome back to the Nightcap. As we kick off the second portion of the show, I would like to remind you that it's super, super, super easy to look back, or to look back. We can't look. We are a talking medium, guys. We are listening. It's really easy to listen back to this very show, a past episode, or any future iterations of the Nightcaps. All you got to do is subscribe on Apple Podcasts and search literally the Nightcap. And then make sure you hit that purple subscribe button. You can do the same thing on the radio.com app. Just search include the, and make sure you hit that little heart in the upper left-hand corner. My name is Lindsay Brown, your host always and forever on the Nightcap, and I'm joined tonight by Ryan Quigley and Ben Goetz. Hello, gentlemen.
It's us.
Hey, hey, hey.
It's us. Don't sound so excited to be here.
It's us.
And we're here to kind of break down your Golden Knights and where their success is coming from, and specifically the success of their second line. Because Max Pacioretty was named the first star of the week by the NHL.com, or just the NHL.
And the player of the week by the Players Association.
And the player of the week by the Players Association. He's
collected a popular man.
All of the awards. And he currently leads the Golden Knights in pretty much every offensive statistical category. He has 15 goals, 19 assists, 34 points on the season. 6 goals in his last 4 games, 8 points in that span as well. But he's not doing it all by himself. And there's been a little change to their line. He's played with Mark Stone pretty consistently throughout this entire season. But when the Golden Knights traded for Chandler Stephenson, and he suited up for the Golden Knights for the first time on the 3rd of this month against the New Jersey Devils and scored in that first game that he played for the Golden Knights, things have really started to click offensively, especially for that second line. And that's what I really want to talk to you guys about, and just get your thoughts on what you guys think is really leading to the success of Max and Mark and just the team in general, because I feel like there's a different rhythm to this team right now. Ryan, why don't we start with you?
Are we, and this is just me speculating. I don't know anything. I know very few things. So
this is true.
Is this, do you think this could just be his first season as a Golden Knight? Well, it's his second season, but his first season as a Golden Knight where he's playing totally healthy.
Well, he was banged up last year.
I'm not certain he was. I mean, he went through a couple injuries last year.
Missed 16 games last year, including a lower body injury.
Right.
I mean, I think it's clear as day that Pacioretty is skating much better this year.
Yeah, and like honestly, like is he the best player on the team right now?
Because I think
you can't argue it.
He must be.
You can't argue it.
He's leading them in every scoring statistic, points,
and shots,
assists, shot. Like, and his shooting percentage isn't even that great for his career average. He's actually below his career average. So, like, one could say that he's actually been slightly unlucky this season, and he's still leading the team in goals and points. So he's been awesome. In terms of what's driving him, I don't want to point directly to Chandler Stephenson, though he has been a pretty good addition. He's looked like the best player on the team the whole season.
Okay.
So I feel like just a whole season of playing with Mark Stone it's huge.
And huge
really
for him.
Is, yeah.
But I think it's all of the off-ice stuff, too, with Max Pacioretty. I just don't think you can underestimate what last year was like for him. This is a guy who spent his entire career professionally with the Montreal Canadiens. 10 years.
Their captain, as an American, which
yeah.
is huge.
Stressful. If anyone wants to see what like real fear is, watch Max Pacioretty's introductory press conference as the Canadiens captain, where he is trying his darndest to speak good French to native French speakers. It's like me trying to give a Spanish presentation. You're just stressed out. You're sweating. He's just trying so hard.
Right. What he should have done was just troll from the very second.
Oh, they would eat him
alive. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
On les deux flamands.
The French Canadians are more French than the actual French. Just ask them.
So he worked so hard to endear himself to that fan base. And then he knew he was going to get traded last summer. He didn't go home to Connecticut, which is where he usually trains in the summer. Didn't go home because he knew, hey, at any moment, like, I gotta go. Like, I'm gonna have to pack up and go.
Right.
So he's stressed out the entire summer waiting for that to happen. He has 3 sons. At the time, his wife was pregnant with son number 4. So all of a sudden, he has to move all of them to a new country in a new city right on the eve of training camp. He was traded right towards the end of rookie camp. So then he has to basically practice with new teammates, and then, I know he said this before, he's basically running out after practice and then going to look at schools and homes.
Right.
So
that
he can, they lived in Red Rock for a while, didn't they, his entire family?
Believe so. So yeah, that was
a lot of sleeping going on in that room with 4, soon to be 4, but 3 young boys.
You mean Red Rock, like the hotel?
Yes.
Red Rock? Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Right
that's,
by the
that's where they
City National
everyone.
Arena.
That's funny.
Yeah, and for me, when it comes to Max, I think Chandler Stephenson, while he's not necessarily a game-breaker type of trade, but what he offers this line and what he offered being infused to this roster is that he takes responsibilities and minutes away from guys in certain situations that they weren't getting for earlier on in the season. Like, we always talk about Riley Smith and Bill Carlson on the penalty kill, and you can often find them out there still to this day. But you're not seeing them going 2 shifts or doing like a minute and a half of the penalty kill. And I think by adding Chandler Stephenson, and specifically adding him to this line, it allows Mark Stone to do what Mark Stone does best. Because Mark Stone can do everything. And he can do everything incredibly well.
Including Selly, by the way.
Including Selly.
Oh, my goodness. His celebrations are the best.
And we saw a very relieved celebration for Mark Stone last night as he scored his first goal in, I think it was 8 games last night.
And he just screams.
Yes. He's just like, ah! He's a very, like, instantaneous, emotional person.
Like, he just ate somebody. And it's his...
But just... This is one of my life mottos, and just because you can doesn't mean you should. And just because you have Mark Stone on your team doesn't mean you should be having him go into corners. Doesn't mean he should be fighting or should be the one with the guy with the puck on his stick the most when he's on the ice. I don't think that's a full utilization of his skills and his abilities. And I think that's what Chandler Stephenson has allowed, because we're not expecting offense from Chandler Stephenson. We're not. We're expecting him to be a good penalty killer and to be defensively responsible. And you stick him on a line with a guy who's already very defensively responsible in Mark Stone and Pacioretty, same in his own right. But you take those responsibilities from Mark Stone and you allow him to chill in that zone and be a playmaker. And this goes back to what just drives me nuts when people are saying line combinations. What if you could have like Crosby, Ovechkin, and McKinnon on the same line? They would be world beaters. Not necessarily.
Would they?
Like, no, because most teams and most hockey is played best when you have a goal scorer, a playmaker, and a grinder on a line. Not two goal scorers, not two playmakers, not two grinders. And sure, they can work. But when it comes into your normal 5-on-5 rhythmic, you know, rotation, that's what you want, because that has everybody's duties perfectly outlined of what their responsibilities are on the ice, and it stops and ends there. On that fifth goal that was scored last night, there's a scrum behind the net. Two defensemen are down there and a forward. Puck goes behind the net. Mark Stone gathers it, takes it on that 2-on-1, and dishes it for Pacioretty's first goal of that game. I'm like, this is the perfect encapsulation of what exactly this line and what how this team should be constructed and what these goals should look like. Are you on the same page with me, Ben?
Absolutely. And I think when you talk about Max Pacioretty and his year this year, you also, even though I think all that off-ice stuff is really important, you can't, you know, underestimate the impact that playing a full season with Mark Stone is having on Pacioretty. Because when you see the chemistry of those two guys and how Stone is able to set up Pacioretty just the way that Pacioretty wants to be set up, it's so, so crucial to them having success. And I think that's so, so key, is to have Stone be able to playmake, have Stone be able to set up guys. That's something he's so, so good at. And to have him kind of be freed up to do that, I think is, as you've mentioned, been so, so huge for them, because his vision is pretty ridiculous.
It's unbelievable, his passing ability.
And what's interesting about that tandem is really they can both score, obviously. Yep. They can both, like, playmaking. I mean, we've seen Pacioretty make some ridiculous passes this season.
Absolutely.
All through his career. Like, they're a best of both worlds type player. You know what I mean? And when both of them are on the ice together, honestly, it doesn't really matter who you have next. I mean, it does a little bit. But, like, Chandler Stephenson, he's kind of fitting pretty well as, like, that third guy. He's he's certainly not hurting them, that's for sure. He's definitely contributing a little bit to their current success.
Yeah, absolutely. And those little 10 seconds in the corner, they add up, because that energy now, as you said, putting him in the right spot. It's not just setting up the 2-on-1. It's making sure that you send that pass over to Max Pacioretty so it hits him right in that perfect spot so he gets all of the one-timer, not part of it.
Right.
Not just have to change midway to a wrist shot. It takes pinpoint precision to get that. And when you get tired, when you shift after shift, you're constantly trying to do everything, you don't have the focus, you don't have the energy, you don't have the gas in the tank to make those passes on a consistent base. And we were talking about a lot early in the season with the Golden Knights having bad luck. Maybe it was just we were spending too much gas in some areas of the ice and not enough in the others. And those are the differences of the inches. But nonetheless, I am a huge fan of this line combination. I have been since they've implemented it. And I think it's paying off through Max, through Mark, and through the rest of the lines, because it doesn't seem like there's as big of a difference when you see, like, the second line go off and then, like, Ryan Reeves comes on. You're like, okay, we expect a little bit of a dip in terms of how quick the game is moving, but not a ton, right?
Mm-hmm. No, the fourth line looked really, really good last night, which is not that surprising. I think the bigger surprising thing last night was that the third line looked really good, too.
Yes, that's been the trouble.
Because that's exactly, that's been the question mark all season. But with Paul Stastny, Alex Tuch, and Valentin Zhykov.
Zhykov looks like a world beater.
Really good yesterday. You know, we can crack all sorts of jokes as to why he might have looked good yesterday.
We've made all of the jokes
already. But he certainly did look like he was really good on the forecheck yesterday. And so if that line looks not only competent, but, like, dangerous, that's huge for the Golden Knights. And so they might have been able to kind of solve something there. And they got Stasi on the score sheet. It had been a while since he had gotten an assist before last night. So all of a sudden you get Paul Stasi producing and producing on the third line because he hasn't really done that this year. He's produced when he's been with Pacioretty and Stone.
It's a tough year.
He hasn't really produced when he's been on the third line, so...
To his defense, chemistry is... I always hate...
He's been odd man out.
Yeah, he's always been moving all over the place.
And totally, to be fair to him, the third line, for the most part, when he's been on it, has not contained Alex Tuch. It's been Paul Stasny, you're on the third line just to prevent it from being a total drain on this team.
Right.
You are not there to make this line dangerous. You are there to prevent this line from being, you know,
being
like a minus three tonight.
Completely incompetent.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And so, yesterday, like I said, that line actually looked like it could be dangerous and it could actually contribute to winning rather than just not preventing the Knights from losing. And so if that's how it's going to be moving forward, that's a huge boost for the Knights.
Could this be kind of the whole suspension for Zykov? Could this be the wake-up call?
Like the chip that finally makes the dip?
Right. Yes. Maybe this is what he needed to get going and kind of kickstart his NHL career.
I'm never going to say a drug suspension was a good wake-up call for him.
They grew it up that way.
Keep in mind, this is a guy who's been on waivers multiple times, including by the Knights very recently.
Yeah,
they put him on waivers after the suspension. So if it's taken like multiple times going unclaimed on waivers, and then, of course, a drug suspension to wake you up, you probably should have woken up a little bit before.
Right.
But if anything, it could be finally it getting through and soaking into and being like, this might be my final shot to not just make this team, but to stay in this league. And it might not be enough for him to even produce that level he's producing. But nonetheless, I feel like he's looked stronger and stronger each game that he's had. And so have the Knights. I think that they're really starting to get some treads down and actually get some traction and move forward further than just being like, yeah, that was a good game. I feel like they're starting to build on each victory now.
Right.
I don't know.
That's they made it. You know, I mean, they just had a hard time stringing wins together, and it's good to see them now starting to consistently get in the win column.
Absolutely. And they're going to need very consistent game tomorrow night as they face off against probably one of the hottest teams in the league, the Minnesota Wild.
And the team that gives them the most trouble in the NHL.
They don't have a very easy time when it comes to those Minnesota Wild.
5-0-1, the Wild are.
Are they really?
The lowest points percentage of the Knights have against any opponent is against the Minnesota Wild, and the Wild are one of three teams who have never lost in T-Mobile Arena.
That's insane. They are definitely a big-time opponent for your Golden Knights tomorrow night facing off against Minnesota Wild at T-Mobile Arena, but another big-time opponent that we've seen a couple times before and that the Knights will see a few more times because they happen to be in our division. Yeah, those Arizona Coyotes at the top.
The Zona Yotes.
They just added Taylor Hall earlier this afternoon, so Ben, Ryan, and I are going to break that down for you on the other side of this break. We are the Nightcap, streaming on CBS Sports Radio 1140 and streaming on the radio.com app.
Time for a little dump and chase. The Nightcap on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
And welcome back to the Nightcap. We are just about to get underway with our Dump and Chase segment. But before we proceed, if you happen to miss our first segment, any portion of this show, or any shows in the future, remember, you can listen back to the Nightcap, any Nightcap we're doing in the future. You can do that on CBS Sports Radio 1140.com, on the radio.com app. You just need to search out the Nightcap, include the V. And you can do that at an Apple Podcast as well. My name is Lindsey Brown, your host always and forever. You can find me on Twitter at LindseyBrown35. That's LINDSEY, Brown like the color, and then the numerical value of 35. And I am joined by Ben Goetz of the Las Vegas Review Journal. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
Hello. And Ryan Quigley of SB Nation. Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
So usually we have our normal dump and chase segment that happens during the 35th minute of every Nightcap, because 35 is the greatest number of all time, because why, gentlemen?
It's your number.
It was my number.
I actually wore it in a peewee hockey. So
well, we are twins forever. Best number there is, number 35. And usually we just kind of offer some tidbits, some streams of consciousness that we've had over the last week. But today, there was a big time trade.
Some stuff happened.
The market was set today by the Arizona Coyotes as they traded for
Tay-Tay Hall.
Yes, for Taylor Hall. I was getting there. Thanks for stepping on the touchdown call. I really appreciate you.
I had to say Tay-Tay.
No, it's okay, Tay-Tay. Tay-Tay is heading down to the Arizona Coyotes from the New Jersey Devils. This is not a huge surprise that he was traded. It was just a question of when and where, and we got both of those answers today. Taylor Hall goes to Arizona for one first-round pick that is top three protected. Right, Ben?
Correct.
So that means what?
So basically, if the Coyotes finish in the top three of the lottery, that they do get to keep the pick. But obviously, the Coyotes' hope is that this trade propels them to a playoff spot,
right,
and that that first-round pick ends up becoming a late first-round pick, potentially in the 20s.
Yes.
So it's not a great asset for the Devils. There's also a conditional third-round pick involved in that deal that can go up to a second if he signs an extension, or if the Coyotes advance a playoff round. If both happen, I believe it comes a first.
Yes. Yep.
So this can turn into a deal that has two firsts. And the Devils also got defenseman Kevin Ball, forward Nick Merkley, and forward Nate Schnarr. Those three are prospects for the Coyotes. I believe they were the number three, number four, and number six prospects, according to ESPN. So, you know, not the Coyotes' top prospects. You know,
They're good ones, though.
They're good, solid, not great. Yeah. They're all going to turn into, you know, you would think solid, maybe decent NHL players. None of them, of course, are Taylor Hall, who won the MVP a couple years ago.
And that's the thing. Like, that's why a lot of people are saying, like, wow, the Coyotes gave up a whole lot to get this trade going. But it's like, did they really, though?
They gave up quantity, not quality.
It's a bunch
It depends on what they get back.
Yeah,
it depends if they make the playoffs.
Depends what that pick turns into.
Really, it's a bunch of lottery tickets. You got these kids who may or may not pan out, and then you got these draft picks that may or may not even be that high up. And so, really, the whole thing, it's kind of an odds game. But, man, I like the trade for Arizona. I think it's pretty good.
Not to mention, New Jersey will be retaining 50% of his salary as well. So that also needs to be said. He is just basically finishing out his big-time deal that he signed with the Devils around 5 years ago. He is in line to basically be the biggest free agent this upcoming summer. And so that's why you're getting a first pick for him now and then a conditional one, depending if they win a playoff round and he re-signs, that becomes another first-round pick because that's a contingency. We don't know that for sure. But they get him for the rest of this season. That is one thing that we do know for sure. And those Arizona Coyotes are already at the top of the Pacific Division standings.
Right.
Granted, not a lot of people are staying in their spots for very long in the Pacific Division because there is a lot of leapfrogging going on, at least early on in the season here. But that team already has Phil Kessel,
who hasn't even been that good this year.
Yo, who has been way underwhelming. So just think of if he's able to get back on the horse. They have OEL, Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Yes.
They have
the best faceoff man in the game, Christian Dvorak, or one of the best faceoff men in the game.
They have a potential Vezina Trophy finalist in net as well.
Darcy Kuemper,
he's been unbelievable.
Comes out of nowhere.
Talking a lot of smack, but he's backing it up for the first time, at least consistently in his career. He, we know him pretty well, Ben. He started his career with the Minnesota Wild. Things didn't quite percolate there, and they ended up trading, or he ended up leaving because they traded for Devan Dubnyk to save their season, as the Wild tend to need to do. But yeah, Darcy Kuemper and Antti Raanta, who's they're kind of going a tandem style. It's 1A and 1B in the most like definition sense, because they're both really good, but Darcy is playing, I've never seen him play like
he's
this.
Awesome. I mean,
they've been great, but this is the kind of guy they needed. They didn't have that kind of top level scorer,
game breaker.
Exactly. And so this is kind of the perfect guy for them to potentially take their offense a little bit over the top, because they've been good defensively. They haven't been scoring that much. And even though Taylor Hall hasn't been scoring that much this year,
Taylor Hall.
He's got 25 points in, I believe, 30 games, but the goals really haven't been there. Now you could chalk that up to he's on a really, really bad
real
team.
Real bad team.
That was in its defensive zone a lot, so not a lot of opportunities for Taylor Hall to score, but he'll certainly get more opportunity to score, you would think, with the Arizona Coyotes. We'll see how he adjusts. I do really like, from the Coyotes side, that they got him now.
Yes.
They did not wait until February 25th to make this move. They said, we want him now. We want him to adjust early so that we're not just getting, you know, his peak play in March once he finally settles into Arizona and with his teammates.
Trade deadline day deal where it's just
he's
going to
be, potentially locked in helping this team in January, you would think now. And that's going to be huge to get basically 3 months out of a playoff push out of Taylor Hall rather than, like 6 weeks.
And I think Hall and Kessel on the same line, like if that's what they end up doing,
or just the power play.
God.
Think of their power play.
It's going to be really good.
It's going to be so much fun. And like they're already a pretty solid defensive team. Obviously, they have very good goaltending, but like Man, I mean, just to see how far this team's come over the last couple of years, it's cool. You like to see that. We were talking about this a little earlier. You like to see teams like this kind of coming into their own and becoming competitive. And I think now that they have a true superstar talent who can score, because they have a hard time scoring goals, it's going to pay dividends.
Really. No, you mentioned that, Ryan. I'm curious to see how much their new owner, Alex Morello, who actually owns the SLS here in Las Vegas, had to do with this decision. He got approved this summer. They definitely want to get a new stadium built there at some point. I mean, even Gary Bettman was just saying, you know, where they play now is not going to work for us long term.
Right. Yeah.
So you have to wonder how much the new owner was like, hey, we need to make a splash. We need to do something that's going to sell tickets. We need to make the playoffs this year so that we can enter potential like stadium talks with some momentum. So, you know, you have to think that might play at least some part of a factor there, too.
Absolutely. It is definitely a big-time move that puts that franchise all in for this season when they're only, what, 3 years removed from trading for Pavel Datsyuk's contract just so they could meet the basement number for payroll. It's crazy how quickly you can turn teams around if certain things happen to go your way and certain opportunities arise in front of you, but you have to take advantage of them, and that's exactly what the Arizona Coyotes did. All right, before we go to break, split second, what comes to your mind? If it ended tomorrow, who's winning the Pacific Division and why?
I'm still going to give the Golden Knights the edge. That's what I thought coming into the season. They're in the mix now. They seem to be finding their game. I'm just going to stick with kind of what I thought preseason and give them the Pacific.
Golden Knights for you?
I'm going to go with Arizona.
Really?
Because, yeah, I do think that their goaltending is going to be good enough for the entire season that it kind of carries them through.
Mm-hmm.
And even if Taylor Hall isn't like this point-per-game player like he was a couple years ago when he won the Hart, he's still Taylor Hall. He's still very, very good. I think he's going to produce enough offense for them to kind of get things going for the Coyotes. And I don't know. I really think that they have the chance to take that top seed in the Pacific this year.
Right on. It should be a very, very competitive Pacific Division. I'm not ready to fully make my pick, but if I were to choose tomorrow, it would be the Calgary Flames for me.
Really?
Coming on strong.
It would be the Calgary Flames. They're starting to kind of get their things back together. I don't see how you can have that much talent on that roster be as dormant for as long as it needs to be for them not to win that division. All right, we have one final intermission before we send you all into the darkness. We will retape our sticks. And on the other side, we will take a look ahead at the Golden Knights schedule this week, at least basically through Christmas. My name is Lindsay Brown. I'm joined by Ryan Quigley and Ben Goetz. This is the Nightcap live on CBS Sports Radio 1140 and streaming on the radio.com app.
Unfiltered hockey talk for Golden Knights fans. It's the Nightcap on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
And welcome back to the final portion of this week's edition of the Nightcap. Just a reminder, we are on each and every Monday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. right here on CBS Sports Radio 1140 and streaming on the radio.com app. If you've missed anything at any time, at any place, just go look it up on Apple Podcasts or on that radio.com app. Search the Nightcap. Make sure you subscribe, favorite, share, you know, whatever. Help a sister out and the brothers, too.
Yeah.
The sister, that's me, Lindsay Brown, your host, always and forever, and my two brothers, not in blood, but from other mothers.
Yeah, of course.
Ryan Quigley and Ben Goetz.
What up?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey.
We are going to take a quick look at the next, basically, week for your Golden Knights, because they have four games remaining on their schedule before they take that Christmas break, and we can go home. But they are going to kick things off against the Minnesota Wild tomorrow night at T-Mobile Arena. The Minnesota Wild, who were mostly garbage to start this season, have basically gotten points in every single game since, I don't know, just before Thanksgiving or so. They are 16-13-4, 37 points, fifth in the Central, 3 points out of that wild card position, at least the second position. And they lost to the Chicago Blackhawks last night. But otherwise, Ryan, you know the Minnesota Wild relatively well.
I do.
What's the bit?
So they're finding their confidence. Finally, they're starting to get a little luckier, I want to say. They're finding the net earlier on in the season. It just looked like guys were just – there was no chemistry. There wasn't a whole – and I'm not huge into the whole chemistry thing, but
– chemistry has no bearing in hockey whatsoever.
But it is a thing, though. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So finally, it looks like the Lions are started. Bruce Boudreau isn't shuffling the lines anymore. They're basically they're staying consistent every single game. And now you're starting to see Zach Parise really get hot. He's starting to score basically every other game now. Mm-hmm. You're starting to see Eric Staal. He got his 1,000th point last night. Yep. Pretty awesome. Amazing.
Cool milestone.
Awesome milestone.
Great goal to score for that point, for that milestone.
Laser
too.
On the power play. He's the 89th player in NHL history to hit that mark, so that's pretty cool.
That's insane.
And then you have Kevin Fiala, who's just turned it on. He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. He's looking like the dynamic, you know, play driving forward that he was in Nashville now.
That they traded Mikael Granlund for.
Right. And you know what?
Not good in Nashville.
He has not been great. They're starting to kind of hold their own now, and they're looking really, really, believe it or not, as awful as they looked early on in the season. They look dangerous.
Right. So. It's oftentimes not who you play, but when you play them that ends up mattering the most. And I know that their rookie goaltender, Kakinen, is that how he says it?
So there's not Kaapo Kakko, Kaapo Kakinen.
Kakinen.
He actually just got sent down to the AHL today.
Why?
Because Devan Dubnyk evidently is ready to back up. He's not, I don't
okay,
believe.
Okay, so we should see Alex Stalock tomorrow night.
It's likely going to be Alex Stalock tomorrow night.
And he's been playing pretty, he's been weathering the storm.
Yeah, he's not putting up Vezina numbers, but he's definitely been playing well enough that it's earning them wins. And that's really all you can ask from a decent backup goal.
Oh, absolutely. So. We are all very excited for this game because obviously Ben and I are from Minnesota, so it'll be kind of a merging of the two worlds. It only happens a couple times per year. On Thursday, the Knights are going to hop on a plane and take a quick trip up to Vancouver, who we just saw last night. They'll be playing, what's their arena name? Is it, I know this too. Rogers Center?
Let's find it. No,
something
because
like
Rogers
that.
Is. Hold on, we're gonna Google this.
Okay, they play Vancouver on Thursday. Vancouver, obviously, they just beat them last night. They're fifth in the Pacific, 4 points out of that second wild card position. The Golden Knights shouldn't have a ton of issues getting or at least keeping that game close. Where is it? Rogers
Arena. Right.
I was right.
You're
getting
right.
After it.
Nailed it.
And then they have the San Jose Sharks on Sunday. Ben, what do you think about the Sharks right now? They looking at least relatively decent.
No, they mean just firing their coach.
They went back.
That's a problem. No, you feel for Peter DeBoer because, you know, he doesn't play goalie. And
right.
Martin Jones and Arendelle continue to
play very
poorly.
Hey, let's not clown on DeBoer too much, okay?
Oh, that was good.
Okay.
I don't think Peter DeBoer was the problem with the Sharks. I think that team has a lot of issues.
Yeah, they're old.
And it's going to have a lot of issues
the
moving forward
player is
because
73.
Of their contracts.
Absolutely. They are an old team, and they are definitely on the downswing, but they eventually will come back up, as they always do. Thank you both for joining me tonight, gentlemen. Thank you to Mark for keeping everything sounding great, per usual. This has been the Nightcap. We'll see you guys back here next Monday, 6 to 7 p.m., live on CBS Sports Radio 1140 and streaming on the radio.com app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.